7 months of slow U.S. jobs recovery has ended as coronavirus cases surge nationwide.
The bottom line is the job report shows we need to provide more immediate relief for working families and businesses now.
We'll have more on the December jobs report and expectations for the new year. And the fallout from this week's riot at the Capitol continues for President Trump. Plus, why online investment companies are setting their sights on women. It's Friday, January 8th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. We report that House Democrats are planning to introduce articles of impeachment against President Trump on Monday. That's according to two Democratic aides. More than 150 House Democrats have signed on to the articles, which accuse the president of inciting an insurrection after he encouraged a mob that stormed the Capitol on Wednesday. The House is in recess, and a vote on the matter has not yet been scheduled. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said earlier today that Democrats would move forward with impeachment proceedings if Trump doesn't leave office quickly. She also said she spoke with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff about Trump's mental fitness. The White House has pushed back against the effort. In a statement, spokesman Judd Deere said that a politically motivated impeachment just days before the transition would only serve to further divide the country. For more on this developing story, please check back on our website, WSJ.com. President-elect Joe Biden was asked about impeachment efforts earlier today.
And so I'm focused on the virus, the vaccine, and economic growth. What the Congress decides to do is for them to decide.
As one of his first actions, Biden plans to ramp up distribution of coronavirus vaccines across the U.S. Our national politics reporter Sabrina Siddiqui explains.
President-elect Joe Biden, according to his transition, is going to try and release nearly all of the available coronavirus vaccine doses to accelerate distribution. That is a shift from the Trump administration's policy of holding back stock for second doses. And this comes at a time when public health experts have expressed concern that the pace of vaccine distribution has been sluggish. Now, it's important to note that Biden's transition team said they will still hold back some of those second doses, but they believe that they need to dramatically boost the accessibility of the vaccine. Some medical groups, including the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, have actually said that if you delay the second dose of the vaccine, that could potentially be detrimental to public health. So what a Biden transition official told me is that the president-elect is confident manufacturers can produce enough vaccines to deliver second doses in a timely manner. And in terms of his own role, he will invoke the Defense Production Act as president in order to boost supply. That is a move that President Trump also took when trying to deliver critical healthcare supplies and PPE earlier in the pandemic, but the Biden transition team believes that the Defense Production Act is not being used to its full capacity.
Coronavirus deaths reached a new single-day high on Thursday. More than 40,000 people died, according to Johns Hopkins University, marking the third record-high day in a row this week. And U.S. stocks closed higher to end the week with gains, despite the December jobs report showing the U.S. lost 140,000 jobs last month. The major indexes rallied this week and closed at record highs on Thursday and today after Democratic victories in the Georgia runoff races raised the prospect of more government spending to support the economy. The Dow was up 1.6% for the week, the Nasdaq gained 2.4%, and the S&P 500 was up 1.8%. Coming up after the break, what the December jobs report tells us about the economic recovery.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
The first wave of the coronavirus hit the U.S. economy hard. More than 22 million people were put out of work in March and April. In May and June, with the stimulus package, we saw millions of those jobs come back. But since July, there have been fewer gains each month. And in December, the recovery officially stalled. President-elect Joe Biden spoke this afternoon, saying he'll outline a coronavirus relief package next week.
We lost another 140,000 jobs, the first negative jobs report since the height of the pandemic in the spring. More people have just lost a job, while many have been out of work for a long time. And the ongoing gap between Black, Latino, and Black and Latino unemployment remains much too large, that gap. And in many ways, the jobs report is a pandemic report. With the pandemic raging, people are losing work and losing hope.
Joining me now with more on the December jobs report is Wall Street Journal economics reporter Josh Mitchell. Hi, Josh. Thanks for being here.
Sure. Thanks.
So, Josh, the impact of surging coronavirus cases is really key here. Can you tell us more about the main drivers behind the December jobs numbers?
This was basically one industry, and this was the restaurant and bar industry. They cut more than 300,000 jobs. So basically, if you erase the restaurant and bar industry, the economy, the labor market actually looked pretty good. The problem is the losses were so huge in the restaurant and bar industry that it actually had a huge impact on the overall jobs market last month. So the overall picture looks pretty ugly, but that's because it's contained in this one industry that is really sensitive to the virus that's going on right now.
So even though the gains didn't outweigh these losses, tell us more about the industries that added jobs. We are still seeing more of that K-shaped split in the economic recovery, right?
Yeah, so one of the surprising things was retailers actually had one of the biggest job gains last month. They added 121,000 jobs. And what's interesting about retailers is that if you think about it, they're the types of places that you go to in person, and they've had a really tough time during this pandemic because right now when you have a virus spreading, you know, a lot of people are avoiding going out and doing things in person. So, you know, that could have been a seasonal adjustment issue. It could have been the fact that it was December and people wanted to go out and buy holiday gifts. It's still a little bit unclear. Sometimes the data here can be a little quirky, but retailers had a pretty big month. We saw construction firms hiring. We've seen that obviously for a while now, the housing market has boomed. You know, even though we went through this historic downturn, interest rates are low, people are buying houses. So perhaps construction industries are responding to this increase in demand for housing by building. And, you know, we saw the manufacturing industry add some jobs. So overall, there are some industries that continue to hire and they're still going through a recovery. But industries that are sensitive to the pandemic are really hurting right now, particularly leisure and hospitality and restaurants.
What can you tell us about the numbers for long-term unemployment versus temporary unemployment? Are we seeing any different trends there?
Well, so with temporary unemployment, there was actually a pretty sizable increase in the number of workers who say that they were prevented from going to work because of the pandemic. And so this is a temporary layoff. Now, the good thing about this is that if they're laid off temporarily, then that's an indication that they could come back pretty quickly if the pandemic eases, businesses are able to reopen pretty quickly, if people get the vaccine quickly and, you know, things move on the way they're expected to. But it's still a pretty large number. A lot of these people have fallen out of the labor force. And, you know, there is this big question mark, can these small businesses hang on? You know, I've talked to a lot of restaurants who they're hanging on by a thread and they're living paycheck to paycheck, month to month. But the more that those businesses sort of fall by the wayside, a lot of these temporary workers might not have jobs to go back to. So right now we appear to be in this lull, in this winter lull, where it's a pretty big blip, a pretty big rough patch we're going through. The hope is that it's going to be short and brief and that a lot of these temporarily laid off workers can come back pretty quickly. But no one is sure what's going to happen over the next few months. There's a lot of hope, but there's also a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear.
And to that point, there is that bit of good news here that many economists believe last month's drop is going to be temporary. So even though it's a confusing picture right now, what can you tell us about what you've heard about the expectations for the start of this new year?
Well, there's two big things going on. So we have the vaccine, you know, I mean, that's already being deployed. It's not being deployed as quickly as a lot of people want. But that process has already started. You know, a lot of people didn't expect a vaccine to be around by the end of 2020. It was. And so we have a lot of people getting vaccinated. Once that process makes its way through, people will be able to go back into the marketplace and shop. And, you know, hopefully we'll get back to something of a normal economy. Who knows what that's going to look like. But so that's already started. So there's a lot of hope there. And then we have this huge stimulus bill that Congress passed, President Trump signed at the end of December. That is already starting to send money to households and businesses. And so that is cash. You know, people are getting money again. $600 one-time payments for most households as a quote-unquote stimulus payment. Then you have $300 a week for people unemployed. So keep in mind, a lot of restaurant workers lost their jobs. A lot of them actually might end up making more through this unemployment compensation, or at least end up making most of what they had been earning by virtue of this new stimulus package. So there's a lot of money being, you know, sent to households right now, which means that will translate into some type of economic activity. That's the hope, at least, which means businesses will hire in response to that boost in economic activity. Again, there's going to be some limitations about them being able to do that. If you're a restaurant and people want to spend money at a restaurant, if your state doesn't allow you to do that, or if people are too scared to go to the restaurant, that might not be an option. But you might have people with new money who, you know, buy a sofa, which is what they've been doing over the past year, buy a sofa, buy a car, you know, think of all these things that you can buy that you don't have to do in person. You know, that is one of the things that's stimulating the economy right now, is people buying goods. And in response, we have a lot of industries, or some industries that make those goods, have increased hiring. So there is hope on the way with this stimulus money. And if we can get through this rough patch, we could have a pretty solid year. That's the expectation.
That's Wall Street Journal economics reporter Josh Mitchell. Josh, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks.
And finally, from college students to retirees, retail trading with online brokerages like Robinhood has been exploding. But one group is still lagging behind: women. Even though Robinhood says the number of female investors on their platform tripled in 2020, they are still a minority of users. Now, Robinhood is looking to close that gap. Deirdre Kaur is head of core product at Robinhood.
I think you want to be careful, right? You don't want to say that we are going to build products for women. You want to think about what are the unique attributes and behaviors that we see from this audience, and how do we meet those needs and problems. And that's why we've invested in educational resources. We're going to continue to build those out. We're building out additional financial products like recurring investments or fractional shares that really help you get started with a small amount of money, build long-term habits.
Robinhood's not alone. Bigger players like Charles Schwab and Fidelity also offer holistic wealth planning services. Fidelity says 41% of its retail brokerage accounts are already held by women. If you want to hear the full conversation about women in retail investing, check out the Wall Street Journal's Your Money Briefing podcast. You can find that wherever you get your podcasts. And that's what's news for this week. Our hosts are me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Mark Stewart. The show was produced this week by Trine Nori and Sam Westren, with help from Paolo Bossanin, Jenny Ang, Kateri Yoakum, Amanda Llewellyn, Charlie Turner, J.R. Whelan, and Chris Sinsley. We'll be back on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.